Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management. Welcome back to the Mobility Management Podcast. And today I'm happy to welcome Mike McCarthy, Director of Growth, and Sheena Strange, Customer Experience and Support, both from Atlas Technology. And my thanks as well to Atlas Technology for sponsoring our conversation today. Mike, Sheena, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Lori, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Okay, so thanks for that. Let's get into our questions because I do have a lot of them, and I want to start with kind of a big anniversary that you're celebrating. So congratulations first on that. We're also going to save a little time at the end to remember and toast an old friend, just to let everyone know to stay tuned for that as well. But let's start off with the big news. Mike and Sheena, one of Atlas Technology's really big projects for 2025 has been a complete brand makeover. So talk to us about the anniversary. Tell me how and why you decided now was the time for a rebrand, and then what all was involved.
Thank you, Lori. 2025 was an enormous year for Atlas. We celebrated our 15th birthday. We recognized that we needed to evolve as an organization. As the OG CRT revenue cycle management software, we recognized that a makeover was a must. The project, while big, included a fresh new look, new user-friendly website, new help desk protocol, and lastly, the development of a brand new mission statement. And our overall goal was to impress the fact that we are a CRT company that sells software.
So this is a small industry, as we know, and everybody seems to know each other. So I'm sure as part of maybe what made you want to do this makeover, as well as what people thought afterward, I'm sure you got a lot of feedback from friends as you expanded and whenever you announce new services and innovations as well. Why is that feedback important to you, and how do you really take it and make the most of it?
Yeah, great question. So feedback is what drives our project priorities. Since we all come from the provider side of the business, we do realize that feedback needs to be taken very seriously. The Atlas platform is super comprehensive as it is. However, we realize that there are some changes that can be made to accommodate specific providers. So an example of that would be different state forms, different payer requirements, different rules of engagement, and so on. So with their feedback, we're able to make those necessary changes on the fly.
Isn't that something that, in addition to how complex rehab is, all the documentation, not only is there a ton of documentation, but it varies, as you said, from state to state, program to program, payer to payer, right? Mm-hmm. So Sheena, sure. I also wanted to point out that you just joined the Atlas team. You're new to Atlas. You're absolutely not new to complex rehab, though. So tell me about your new role. Tell me about your responsibilities and how all of your past responsibilities and experiences in the industry have prepared you for where you are now.
Yeah, so I'm so excited to be a part of the Atlas team. My new role is customer service and support. And so as a former Atlas user, I will be gathering feedback from our current Atlas clients on how they are using Atlas. So I want to help them identify unseen opportunities to create another level of efficiency within the organizations. A couple of examples of that would be reducing evaluation to delivery times on behalf of the beneficiaries, offering training to staff to help reduce billing errors, and to help identify additional opportunities for organic growth. And as you mentioned, Lori, I have been in the CRT world for quite some time. I've been in the CRT industry for over 2 decades now. I've worked with several large and small providers with roles ranging from customer service, sales support, revenue cycle management, compliance, and operational leadership. I'd say all things administrative. And these experiences have given me firsthand insight into initiatives that have worked well and the ones that haven't.
Well, I love that you yourself are a former Atlas user, right? So yeah. You're coming directly from the trenches as somebody who is facing this, had to face, I guess, all these requirements every day. Absolutely. So that puts you in a great position to say exactly, like you said, what works, mm-hmm. what could work better maybe.
Yes.
And things that really need an overhaul. So I love that. Let's look a little bit now into the future. In 2026, I know Atlas is a gold level sponsor at the new Abilities International Accessibility Conference. For any listener who's not quite sure what that is or is hearing about this for the first time, the Consumer Focused Abilities Expo has launched a professional conference next year in the first three cities on the list. So that's Southern California, it'll be in Long Beach, and then Edison, New Jersey, which is kind of the New York area, and then Chicago. So Atlas signed on right away. What are Atlas's expectations for this new professional conference, and how are you participating?
It's a great question, Laurie. We are excited to partner with Abilities. We were the first sponsor of next year's Abilities International Conference. It's the first time that Abilities International has gathered all the stakeholders in one building, clinicians, ATPs, caregivers, consumers, and manufacturers into the 2026 events. They're also offering 10 CEUs, and we're excited to be presenting one of those courses entitled Leveraging Technology for Better Supplier ATP Referring Clinician Collaboration. Our ACES platform has been a clinical staple for over 10 years, and our education tract will help create a higher level of awareness throughout the clinical community.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of a deeper dive. I know when we were sort of preparing for this conversation, you mentioned that more than 6,000 seating therapists are currently using that ACES system, which is short for Atlas Clinical Evaluation Software. What do you take away from that number? That's a big number. What do you take away from that number?
It is a big number, and a number that we're very proud of. First of all, we don't charge clinicians to use ACES. So it's a free platform for seating evaluations for clinical therapists. Second, and maybe equally as important, we feel strongly that the legacy forms being utilized today require a significant amount of back and forth between the referral source and the ATP to be effective in the timeframes that we expect. Not to mention those legacy forms lead to several compliance issues as well as contradictions in terms and less effective outcomes. Our ACES platform greatly increases successful collaboration the first time. Digital legacy versions can be locked down, which helps with compliance, but creates another big issue with revisions as they can't be edited. If we use the simple example of the recent swing away joystick mount justification, if a therapist uses the justification of ability to get closer to a table for a meal instead of ease of transfer, the therapist must complete the entire document over again for that one small edit. ACES improves this experience with a built-in logic that is compliant. Separate logins and portals allow for edits and modifications if necessary. Additionally, ACES has some robust features that will prevent the aforementioned contradictions associated with legacy platforms. An example of that is if the referral writes something on page 3 and then writes something differently on page 11, it causes a significant delay in the transaction cycle. In conclusion, we are proponents of doing it right the first time on the beneficiary's behalf. We feel this initiative that we've developed for both the Abilities Expo and MedTrade will help spread the word and show both ATPs and referring therapists that there's a better way.
Well, that's actually, I think, a great transition into my next question, because there are so many opportunities or pitfalls, I guess, places where the provision process gets bogged down. And that is in no one's best interest, obviously. We want to get that chair, that seating to the consumer as quickly as possible because it's medically necessary equipment. We want that to be able to bill as quickly as possible. And we want those clinical outcomes to start improving as quickly as possible. So my next question is about how a provider can determine whether revenue cycle management systems are working for them. Is it a good return on investment? And I know that that can be a really challenging, difficult thing to mention. So I'm going to ask you to think of your Atlas RCM full platform and how you seek to support your providers, what your goals are in supporting providers. And Mike, you just named some. What questions should providers be asking when they're looking for opportunities to operate more efficiently and when they're trying to figure out if an RCM system is providing a good return on investment?
Thanks, Lori. I think that's a great question. I love it so much. So I think there are several questions that providers need to ask themselves, different categories. So let's start with operations. So what they should ask are, what are the current workflows in the operations and what are the bottlenecks? Are there steps we can streamline or automate to save time and reduce errors? So regarding technology, they should ask, are we leveraging technology effectively? What tools or systems could enhance our data management, inventory tracking, revenue cycle, and patient communication and outcomes? It's also important to stay engaged with your staff. Ask your staff for their feedback regarding identifying inefficiencies within the organization. Are there training opportunities that can empower the staff to contribute to process improvements? Patient feedback is another factor to consider. What are our patients saying about their experiences? How can we gather and analyze their feedback to identify areas for improvement in service delivery? Cost management, that's another essential for business. And since we know that reimbursement hasn't been increasing, the provider should ask, where are our greatest expenses? And are there any ways to reduce costs without compromising the quality of service and delivery? And then finally, don't be afraid to ask, how do our efficiency metrics compare to industry standards? Are there best practices from other successful providers that we could adopt? And as mentioned before, there are pros and cons with any scale of business.
Yeah, I think that those are all really great points. And it is hard to tell sometimes. I think when you are in the trenches every day, it's hard to kind of lift your head up and take a look around and ask these questions. So I think it's really important to bring those, you know, so that people know what they should be looking for and the questions they should be asking of Atlas or any technology partner they're considering working with. So given the uncertainties about competitive bidding, accreditation, possible tariffs on medical equipment, how important do you think it will be for providers to be able to operate as efficiently as possible while making the most of every hour of the week and making the most of every team member's efforts?
Excellent. Three of my least favorite topics, competitive bidding, accreditation, and tariffs on medical equipment. Atlas's position, we feel strongly that creating the necessary efficiencies today will create a better tomorrow. By creating those efficiencies now, providers will be making the most of their team members and their time. Additionally, since Atlas supports all the major industry advocacy organizations such as NCART, NARTS, AA Home Care, we are well positioned to keep our partners educated on both federal and state changes as they occur. In short, we are here to support our partners at every level up to and including change that may impact their business.
Well, Mike, I think those are really good points because we're currently sort of in a holding pattern, aren't we? As we record this, we are waiting for a final rule, the home health rule. We are waiting, the public comment period hasn't even closed yet on the tariff issue, the Commerce Department investigation. But I think sometimes those wait and see sort of time periods can make us feel sort of helpless. Like, what should I be doing? I'm just sort of sitting here. I don't know what to do. I think it's really important to show that if you create some efficiencies today, the chances are great that you will have to worry less tomorrow and you will have to scramble so much less tomorrow. There are things you can do right now, even if none of this becomes a problem, even if magically there are no tariffs and there is no competitive bidding and accreditation doesn't change. You've still invested in efficiencies that are still going to help you. So I absolutely love those comments. And for the next question, I'm going to ask you, Mike and Sheena, open your minds. I know this is a tricky question because sometimes companies, for whatever reason, are reluctant to tell me, an editor, about what they're working on next. So I know there are secrets. I'm not asking you to share secret information, but can you tell me anything about future enhancements that you're working on for the Atlas RCM platform?
Get them, Sheena.
Well, we have some exciting improvements to our RCM platform for 2026. You can't go a day without hearing the term AI. And trust me, at Atlas, it's no different. In addition to our AI intake, we've identified additional opportunities to eliminate more keystrokes, increase speed, and reduce E2D, all of which will lead to a more accurate billing and AR process. In fact, I recently analyzed the overall cost of administrative duties associated with processing one Group 3 power wheelchair, and the results were staggering. Approximately 30% of the example was spent on administrative time alone. The proposed improvements to our RCM platform will reduce employee burnout. It will increase productivity, both of which will lead to a better patient outcome. And then lastly, as we previously mentioned, we have also identified the opportunity to create a much better work-life balance with our clinicians. Could you imagine completing an evaluation while the beneficiary is still sitting right there in front of you? Well, that is where we're headed. We are huge proponents of getting it done fast and doing it right the first time.
That is incredible. I cannot even fathom a world in which you're in seating clinic, the client is still in front of you, and you're doing your documentation right there correctly the first time. So I have actually had a walkthrough of some of the AI capabilities at MedTrade, I believe, this year. So I have seen it. Is that something that you will also be able to do at the Abilities Expo at MedTrade, that you will be able to walk people through that? Because I found that really, really helpful to see like every field that gets populated.
Without getting into too much detail, we expect to present some of our opportunities as early as March of 2026.
Yay. Okay. Sign me up. I'll be in line. Put a placeholder right there that I have a place in line, please. And now, as promised, Mike and Sheena, I know you wanted to mention the passing in March of this year of Joe McKnight, who was a coworker, part of the Atlas Technology family, but really part of Complex Rehab's family, a passionate and very beloved colleague who taught me a lot, and I think taught a lot of people a lot. So you're dedicating this podcast to Joe's memory, which I think is wonderful. And I wanted to ask if you have any words you'd like to share. I have a story that we can close with, but why don't you go first?
So I was going to go on the heels of you.
Okay. Do you want me to go first then?
Yeah.
Okay. So my story goes back a long time because I have known Joe a long time. And one day we were just chatting, you know, how you can start chatting with Joe and you will just learn so much from what you thought was just a hello. And he told me that he was working with a young man who had a hemipelvectomy. And I was fairly new to the industry. And so I said, what's a hemipelvectomy? And Joe, and I'm sure you can imagine this, Joe said, well, sound it out. And so I said, okay, hemi is half. Ectomy sounds like a surgery to remove something, like a tonsillectomy or an appendectomy, right? Pelvectomy. Joe, that sounds like somebody had half of his pelvis removed. Is that what that is? And without missing a beat, he said, yeah, good job. That is exactly what it is. He has had cancer, so he had surgery. He's has half of his pelvis removed. So let me tell you the challenges that brings us as the seating team. And I, in my mind, was thinking, challenges? This sounds like an impossible task. But Joe just said, well, you know, what we want to do is we want to, obviously, we need to watch for stability. He's got an asymmetrical posture now, basically, an asymmetry in his body itself. So obviously we want to make sure he's stable. We want to make sure he can reach everything, that he's functional, that he feels safe. But Lori, more than that, we want to make sure he feels confident in this system. Not just like he has to use it to get from here to there, but he doesn't feel all that great about it. We want this to be not something he thinks about. So beyond being safe, beyond being functional and stable, we need him to feel confident. And so he went on, Joe went on to tell me more about how they were accomplishing this with the seating, with some positioning, using a little bit of tilt that he would end up driving with. And what I got out of the story was not just how to deal with an asymmetrical posture, but also that there was just no possibility that Joe was going to just say, well, that's too difficult, that's too hard, we should probably just encourage him to stay in bed. Like, that clearly never passed Joe's mind. And beyond that, I know it doesn't actually come into the minds of anyone else in complex rehab. That's what I love so much about this industry, is that there's always the approach of, we'll figure this out, whether you are in the seating team doing the assessment, to folks more that Sheena helps with the documentation. What do we have to document? What do we have to justify? Who needs to get involved? Who needs to write us some, you know, some justification here? Just that entire mindset that complex rehab gets things done and works the problem and never seems to think that anything at all is impossible. So that's the story I wanted to share. That was kind of, not only did I get information on a hemipelvectomy, but I also took away that spirit of what complex rehab seeks to do for its clients. So do you have anything to add to that?
I do. You know, that's an excellent story, and I'd not heard the whole thing until now. And you know, when I boil your story down, what's left is Joe's passion. And, you know, my goal here was not to tear up. You know, I miss the guy a lot. His dedication to his patients, his dedication to his employers, his dedication to his family, maybe not in that order, was unmatched. And we miss him immensely.
Well, can you tell me real quick, Mike, why the cowboy hats and why the cowboy boots? Because I just learned that right before we started the podcast.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we used to joke about was that you could see Joe from across the room because he was always wearing a black cowboy hat and cowboy boots. Joe was from Ely, Nevada, which is, if for those of you listening to this, is about halfway between Vegas and Reno, in the western part of Nevada. And that's just how he was raised. You know, that was part of his persona. I literally, and I know I just mentioned that you could tell when Joe was in the room because you could spot the cowboy hat a mile away. It was everywhere. Joe never left home without that hat or a pair of boots on. So, and I do, you know, I knew Joe for a long time. And my stories are endless, both professional and personal. Yours is an example of his professionalism in our industry. Your story is also really just kind of highlights who Joe was as a person. And what I mean by that is he worked as hard as he played, and he played as hard as he worked. And just to reiterate, you know, it leaves an enormous void in the people that knew him. It leaves an enormous void in our space, in the complex rehab technology space. And we miss him at Atlas for sure. He was a very valued member of our family.
Well, I love that. And I always love that he insisted on the black hat, because in the back of my mind, I would say, you want to be seen as a black hat, but you're a white hat kind of guy, Joe McKnight. You're not fooling anyone. So thanks so much for that. With that, we'll wrap up this podcast with Mike McCarthy and Sheena Strange of Atlas Technology. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. The best way to make sure you don't miss our episodes is to subscribe, and you can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Mike, Sheena, thanks very much for being with me. Thanks to our audience for listening, and we'll be back again soon.
Thanks, Laurie. Thank you.